All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Cole, I just got a letter.
Oh, I hope everything's okay.
Have a seat.
Oh, Gary. Oh, don't do this to me, man.
Abject Suffering is canceled.
Oh, no. The guys at the network?
Yeah, the guys at the network, they said it's too hard to understand. They said that it's not actually about the games. They don't like that people said, you know, that the same people suggest games over and over.
Oh, yeah. No, that is a pride to see.
You know, so, but I, you know, every cloud has a silver lining. So Abject Suffering, you know, being done, that sucks. Let's look forward to tomorrow.
Okay. Well, we can, let's take a moment here.
Well, let's hurry up because the future waits for no one and the future is under your chair. Cole, look under your chair.
Okay.
It's an R zone.
Oh shit!
We're gonna start a brand new podcast, the R zone zone here.
Oh, can I put it on?
Yeah. No, you can wear it just like a regular,
like my VR headset. Yeah.
Yeah, you can just wear it around the house. Okay. Wear it whenever you like.
Oh, it fits perfect. Did you measure this?
Huh? Yeah.
Oh, the guys at the network met. Yeah. No. That, okay. Cool.
Yeah, I had to check with Carol down in
in receivable. Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. In craniology. Yeah, to get your skull fucks.
Get Carol and her phrenology.
Yeah, the phrenology department. So here, let me put in. I've been working on this new theme song. Let me just boot up this DAT tape. Yeah, I know. Listen to those sounds. It's pure.
Gary, I'm ready to go.
I know. I'm rip-roaring. Well, this is a brave new thing. So now, I mean, there'll be some housekeeping if anyone's listening to this. You can still suggest games, but they have to be our zone games.
Yes. So they're going to be 21 episodes.
Yeah. Yes. And we're not going to hunt them down. So if you send us an R zone in a specially prepackaged mailer thing, a little bit like the good people at mattress.com or what have you, you know, or a trunk club.
I can't turn this off.
No, it doesn't go turn off. Why would you turn it off? It's the future.
Gary, I can't take it off. It's far too tight.
Why would you take it off? It's reading your DNA now? As we go now. So I'm gonna put on my R zone as well.
Okay.
I'm gonna wear my R zone the entire time. Okay. They record the inaugural episode of the R zone.
Okay.
All right.
1 second. I need to do this. I need to take off my headphones. 1 second.
Okay. Okay, that's my R zone you're hearing.
Okay.
God, you'd think that you'd want a melody for something like that.
It sounds so heavenly is what it does.
It is, yeah. There's nothing here. Cole, do you want to fire yours up at the same time?
Like I said, I can't turn mine off.
Well, here, hit it off. It's on the far right button.
Oh, okay.
And then hit on again, and let's get some dual and R zones going.
Okay. All right, turn yours off.
Okay, I don't want to sync up. Let's be a little bit out of sync.
Okay. Well, we are just by virtue of the lag, so let's go.
Yeah, okay. You go, and then I'll go.
Okay.
Oh, man, is that beautiful.
Yeah, let me turn my head to get this into the mic. Yeah, there we are. Okay.
It's the most gorgeous sound I've ever heard.
Oh, God.
Welcome to the future.
There we go.
All right. Well, my name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to the R Zone
Zone. This won't turn off.
It doesn't need to turn off. It's just... whenever the R zone's on, you should be thinking, or should we stand around and say, hey,
where's the R zone? Oh, it's strapped to your head and sucking all your blood.
Yeah. I can't. It's the blood red R zone.
Yep. That's where all the red on the screen comes from. And the mirror peers into your soul. My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to the R zone zone.
Yeah.
The podcast where we play games for the Tiger handheld virtual reality system, the R zone.
Handheld in a way. So
yeah.
Gary, the R zone is handheld. Legion. Yeah. No, it holds you.
I like being held.
Oh gosh, it's like giving your head a hug while it sucks your blood and makes it back up.
Yeah. If you like winking, you will like the R Zone.
Oh yeah, if you like being really nauseous.
Did this made you nauseous? Yep. That's ridiculous, Cole. I don't believe you.
What?
This is so, there's no frames. It's not like, how did this make you motion stick?
Because Gary, there was something happening in my right eye that wasn't mirrored in my left.
Did you not wink? You got to wink.
Well, okay. Yeah, I did wink, but my winkers got tired.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you know, it sucks to hold your eye closed that much.
It's hard for marathon seshes.
Yeah, definitely. That Daytona 500 did not end, or Daytona USA or what have you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, this the imbalance between the left eye and the right eye, even with winking. Also I'm getting a little bit of a sweat going underneath this band. Huh.
Yeah, it's like the opposite of a sweatband.
Yeah, no, it doesn't wick. It actually, I think it creates moisture. It pulls most of it.
Yeah. The R Zone is having a rough time.
It was the predecessor to the Dreamcast ad campaign. Instead
Why was
of its
I
dreaming,
sweat?
It's sweating, or it's thinking.
Yep, the R Zone.
So yes, this did make me uncomfortable. It's Gary, it's a part of me now, you know?
Yeah, this hole was made for me.
Yeah.
Like yeah, I can't imagine life after or before the R Zone anymore.
Yeah, or after. When this thing, you know, melts away, when it fully subsumes inside of my flesh and becomes one with me. Like
when I die, just lower me into a standard Tiger R casket.
Oh man. So we should we explain the R Zone to the nice people?
I guess if you guys aren't on the trolley enough.
This is the inaugural episode. So we should share the origin story of,
I imagine everyone probably went to R Zone camp to prep for this episode, but if somehow you missed it and you have a note from your parents.
Yeah. In which case, shame on you, you malingerer. I pressed the button accidentally.
Yeah, man. I'll toast to that.
I'm just sitting here fiddling with the controller. No, so let's share our R Zone origin story. The day is early November 2015. We are at an arcade/bar downtown Cincinnati for our meetup. And in comes a man named Paul.
Yeah.
And Paul is carrying two Trader Joe's bags. And he says, "Hey, I've got a gift for you guys." And we open them up. And what we have inside, it's a two-piece apparatus, but they're connected as though an umbilical cord. One piece is a relatively standard controller with what appears to be a full QWERTY keyboard in the middle of it.
Yeah, kind of. We'll talk about the controller.
Yes. But the most important part, and the one that got me ridiculed in the bar because I immediately put this on, was the headset.
Yeah, because it's the Tiger R Zone.
Yep. And we've all seen diagrams of the R Zone.
Yeah.
Just like all the kids in, you know, 1942 were given the playing cards that showed the silhouette of German bombers so they could alert the local authority figures.
Yeah, we get a playing card set of silhouette of Tiger Electronics.
Yeah, yeah. So you got your games.com, you got your Simon's Quest, you know, all the hits.
I really want a Gamecom. Like I'm going to get one. Like I keep pricing them, and it's just like just beyond my novelty.
Yeah.
Purchase, you know, price. But the Portland Retro Gaming Expo is doing another like trader show. Mm-hmm. They do these like trade shows on off season where it's just store part of the.
No, you can go in there and really use up all your juice on the haggle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's expected and stuff. That's where I found a bunch of old From games and everything. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna go in there and see if I can find a game.com.
Yeah. Or Gamecom. No. See if you can get the Resident Evil.
That'd be awesome.
Get Resident Evil 2 and then like get like video Symphony footage of that. Yeah. Ooh, Symphony of the Night. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got this ever since the Retronaut guys inspired it because they did that episode with the Neo Geo Pocket Color. Mm-hmm. Where like there are all these weird little systems and like it would be kind of fun to own that if it's not too expensive.
Yeah. And it turns out they're almost always too expensive.
There, a lot of them are, but some of them are like the Neo Geo Pocket Color is pretty fun. Mm-hmm. Like I played through Metal Slug on that and it's like a good game and plays well and.
Oh man, that'd be pretty fun. Yeah,
It's really good. I recommend them. Like they're cheap. Hmm. But anywho, I'm going to see, one, I'm going to see if I can get a GameCom. Two, I'm going to look for more RZone carts.
Mm-hmm.
For the show.
yep, for the show, because we have to source these somehow.
Yeah, I don't know, Gary, how else we're going to get RZone carts.
I did some Googling. RZone emulation is scant at best.
I'm not too surprised.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've got this whiteboard here, and I simulated it by drawing some pictures on some index cards and moving some magnets around. That was fun for about a half hour.
The moving deviled egg.
Yeah.
We should probably explain a little bit more about how the RZone works. All people know right now is there's a controller and a headset.
Yes.
so, like, I mean, I guess, like, this, because there's not very much to talk about when we talk about Daytona. You know,
Gary, we're not at the games yet. We're still just on the hardware.
No, exactly. This is RZone 101. Next episode will be when we start on the games. But, like, we can talk about the hardware, but we can also, like, do you have history with, like, Tiger handhelds?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Was that a thing? Yeah, that was really a thing for me.
Yeah, and like, me too. Like,
here's the thing about the RZone, I don't hate it. Like, I'm like, kind of into it. Like, no, I played some RZone today, and I'm like, this is fun. I'm having fun. Like, yeah. What is that? Why?
Well, it was nostalgic because most Tiger handheld electronic games are the same,
yes.
Right? So this reminds me of childhood car rides before I got my Game Boy.
Yeah.
Actually, because a Tiger game was $20, whereas a Game Boy game was more than $20.
Well, and a Game Boy alone. Yeah. We didn't have a Game Boy. Yeah, like,
what? Then $200? What are you talking about?
Oops. Oh, okay. When you turn it on, it turns on the thing. That's my tribute to the Game Boy.
Yeah, but no, like, I, one of my favorite things was my, even after I had like a Game Gear, I still carried around in my backpack my Sonic 3D Blast one, I think, mm-hmm. or Sonic 3. Like, there was a Sonic branded one where you're just like running around and getting rings. So definitely.
Yeah, there are ones where, so like the way the Tiger games work, if people totally don't know what they are, and maybe, you know, there are people who are young and don't know, is that they just have this little LCD screen that has all of the images possible in a game, mm-hmm. and then it makes certain ones visible at a certain time.
Yeah.
Like, there's no animation. It's just like the sprite moves. It's not even a sprite. Like the figure moves, appears or disappears.
Based on the logic of the game. Like,
yeah.
You press left and, you know, the Ryu to the left of where Ryu is now turns on.
He's lit up and your regular Ryu turns off. It's like Soma.
Yep. Spoilers for Soma.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, pretty obscure. Like, if you don't know what that is, it'll be hard to know that that's... Well, isn't there something about Ryu and he shows up? And
Yeah, but yeah, these are incredibly simple games, and their success and their kind of just ubiquity was not so much due to like how technically good they were. It was entirely like business, right? Like they had worked out a way to make these cheap, put them everywhere, but also see what they could license.
Yes.
To be good. So like there were like handheld versions, like we said, of Street Fighter, Sonic, there was a Castlevania one. And all of these were like really cool pieces of like late 80s sculpture and sticker and decal work and stuff.
Yeah. That, like, that was their secret, is that they had amazing form factors.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just kind of like little toys. These always looked so cool. And like, mm-hmm. when I was young, I would play with them, and then they also looked like spaceships
mm-hmm.
a lot of the time. So I'd like pretend like they were spaceships as well. Like, it was like double toy.
Mm-hmm. No, and definitely like, and everybody knew that you were playing with something that had to do with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because by God, that thing was orange and or yellow, and it was green.
Yeah,
right.
Like, yeah, they had different. And the Batman one had like a bat ring kind of shape
mm-hmm.
to it, or the various Batman one, because there are a lot of them. but so like. And then they had the you know, the stickers all over it, which just meant like, if you go to the grocery store and like you like Batman, this is Batman,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like, I don't know, it just, that worked on me.
And what's funny is they weren't, for the ones that I saw, they weren't sold in the toy aisles, or they weren't sold by the video games. Like they were in with the periodicals, and they were out just like at the checkout line and stuff.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where I saw them, they were definitely in the toy section.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they existed out. The thing. It also, since they had those licenses, like a lot of the licenses were like TV shows and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but some of them were also just like other video games. So like, mm-hmm. if you like Ninja Gaiden, like you can grab this Ninja Gaiden watch mm-hmm. and it kind of plays Ninja Gaiden. It doesn't really, but like, it's got some Ninja Gaiden-esque properties.
Yeah, there's Ryu, and when Ryu turns off, the other Ryu turns on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It just man, I don't know. They're really bad games. The best ones as far as games took advantage of the limitations.
Oh yeah, like they had a fixed perspective.
Yeah, fixed perspective, like really simple gameplay, because essentially they're all like Game & Watch, actually. So like, yeah, if you don't know what, you know, if you buy a Game & Watch collection, that's more or less what these are.
Yeah.
Type games, but those are good games, you know, like the ball construction game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and stuff like that actually work. And the best Tiger games did that.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst ones, such as the electronic Ed Grimley doll.
What?
Electronic Ed Grimley.
Who's Ed Grimley?
Excuse me? this is like the most Cole Ross ass thing that I can think of, and you don't know what Ed Grimley is?
No, I don't.
he's a character from, it's Martin Short's like breakout character from SCTV.
Yeah, no.
Are you somehow not an SCTV guy?
No.
That's really surprising.
I know, right?
Okay. Well, he's Martin Short, and he was on Saturday Night Live and stuff too. it's a Martin Short character that like kind of like a proto Pee Wee Herman, I guess.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Sorry, I'm just trying to get out of this one. That's my ripcord now.
Yeah. Whenever you're in a bar, if you hear the R zone start to power up, you have to salute with your own R zone. Yeah. It's like that Kurt Vonnegut thing where it's like, are you a member of the Turtle Club? You bet your fucking ass I am.
Oh, Gary, yeah. I just now realized there's a volume. I can make this louder.
Yeah.
Oh, what I thought was its loudest wasn't. Oh,
yeah.
It just keeps going up. My compressor is going nuts.
We're doing God's work here.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. This is my favorite episode of this show.
but there was a talking doll that Tiger made, right?
Well, no, it was not a talking doll. I meant it's just a game.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's just an Ed Grimley, but that's a weird license for.
Okay.
For
well, tell, like, Tiger did a bunch of toys. They did the Skip It. They did, they had this thing. I was looking on their Wikipedia page. They had this device called barcodes. BARCODZZ. Okay. And the idea was, it was like a little barcode scanner, and you would actually scan barcodes that were around your house or were in stores to like generate random characters for like RPG kind of stuff.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so it was kind of like a Monster Rancher kind of thing before Monster Rancher was a thing.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but it had a dumb name.
Yeah, it's a super dumb name.
Barcodes.
Yeah, the barcodes. Yeah.
And then the reason that I was like, oh, I could believe they would make a doll. Tiger also did the officially licensed, Jingle All the Way doll.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, the Captain Lunatic or whatever his name was.
I'm looking through the list of all the Tiger LCD handhelds.
Mm-hmm.
On this great website, thehandheldmuseum.com/tiger. And I had like almost 20 of these, I feel like, at some point in my life.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as I grew up without money, and like, you know, I got a Game Boy at some point, but it's like relatively late.
Yeah. Like, after a while, it's like catch as catch can, you know?
Yeah.
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 Huh.
Yeah. Or I was going to say, though, like the fact that that you can make a good game using this engine, is at odds with the fact that it's so adaptation happy.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't just like, how do we make a good game? It was like, how do we make a game that kind of emulates Mega Man?
Right.
You know, and the answer is you don't.
Oh,
like,
no.
It doesn't, you know, those are the worst. You know, those ones don't work, but other ones do.
Yeah, I had this Sonic 3 one because I remember it has that stupid sphere background.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. But yeah, like the Sonic ones, they like, it's weird how well that worked there, because you were just picking a lane to get rings but avoid
mm-hmm.
but avoid
very similar
enemies.
To the Daytona
yeah
game
but it was like side scrolling, so it was side to side.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, but you're right, they needed to kind of design to the limitations, and that probably led to a bunch of people getting their heart broken, because you expect, okay, well, I've got this toy, like, blah, I've got 15 of these. It's kind of like those things that you could get at a kiosk or were often given out as rewards for school fundraisers that were like 1,000 games in one, and they were all Tetris variants.
Hey, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what those things are. I just realized that there's a Skeleton Warriors.
Oh, shit.
I got to get that.
Oh, Gary.
I gotta get that.
Oh, you.
Oh, and there's a Shaq one too, dude. Shaq Attack Monster Jam.
Uh huh. No, there's also Space Jam.
Like, oh, hello, Dolly.
Hello, Christmas list.
Good night. Mm,
Gary, there's also VR Troopers When Worlds Collide.
I saw that, yeah. I hate the VR Troopers.
Like, yep.
Fuck you, VR Troopers.
All our zones unite against VR Troopers.
Fuck you, Flabber.
No, but I watched them because it was before school.
Yeah. Yeah, and they weren't Beetleborgs, which I think is where actually your Flabber comes from. Because there's definitely a stratum where it like goes like Power Rangers, VR Troopers, Beetleborgs.
Yep. But so we should explain. So we talked about the Tiger Electronics. This is going to be a long episode, Gary. But so we talked about the Tiger Electronics. The R Zone works the same way. It's four balls on the edge of a cliff.
Except that it projects it onto a mirror that then looks down at a piece of plastic that's hanging in front of your eye.
Yes, a reflective piece of plastic. So there is a bright red light that shines through the cartridge.
Oh, yeah, like, there's no mirror.
Yeah, the screen is just like right inside the cartridge. And you lower it down in front of the light, and then everything happens on there. And this actually let them kind of take the same cartridges. This was Tiger's first handheld kind of game where you could swap out the cartridges. There's even a handy little slot in the controller.
I love the cartridges.
I can't get my cartridge out, Gary.
Oh, you had to pull a little bit harder than you think, and you pull straight out.
Okay.
So that's what it took me a second too, because I had to like look what angle it was, because it's kind of like tilted, so it looks like you had to pull it out at an angle.
Well, it doesn't matter now because it's a part of me.
But the cartridges have like the screen in the middle that has all the different various cell characters or features that can be lit up, but it's like a little screen.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just attractive.
Yeah.
This is an attractive form factor on this thing.
And it projects onto this clear piece of
this. I need to remember that. Turning it on or putting one in turns it on.
Gary, I'm right here.
Is unpredictable.
Gary, I'm right here for you, buddy. Turning mine on when you turn yours on.
I know. It's the salute, man. It's the secret handshake.
Yep.
It's how two people with R zones recognize each other in a bar.
Yeah, not the fact that they have R zones on.
Well, no, because these are it's cool and subtle.
Yeah,
like wearing like Google Glass just makes you look like a cool like who's that guy spending his digicreds down at the bar? Yeah. Vape in the future.
Yep, taking some of his substance D. I don't even know, but it's but no. So I get this thing and I put it on, and I didn't realize that somebody I went to college with was bartending at that bar.
Oh, yeah,
And so I hear, Cole, what the fuck are you wearing?
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, Mike, how's it going?
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is the R Zone. Yeah. Here, have a card.
Wait.
Welcome to the R Zone Zone.
Yep. It's just going to be a thing in 2 months. Don't worry.
Yes. Yeah.
But so the aforementioned motion sickness, this image, this bright red image is projected right onto this thing. But this isn't both eyes. Like, we're not doing some virtual boy, like binocular vision kind of stuff. It's just one eye.
Yeah. You have to wink.
You don't have to wink. You have to wink like the mom from Arrested Development.
Yeah, perma wink.
Yeah,
like this is the system for cyclopses.
Cyclopes.
Like if you are a cyclops, you will like the R Zone.
Oh man, what if this is the way to get everybody? Like just like really careless hunters. You know, they need to get in on the VR revolution, right?
Well, the R Zone's for them. An eye for an eye makes the whole world blind, but it's really an eye for an eye. The whole world gets an R Zone. Yeah, brother.
I didn't hear yours. Thank you. Okay.
I had mine turned down a little bit. Sorry. Sorry. Let me adjust.
The microphone is in the perfect position for me to pick up that sound.
There we go.
There we go. Thank you. I was about to get insulted, Gary.
No, it's okay. I had to take it off because it kept bumping against my pop screen.
Ah, okay. Yeah. No, I'm sweating like crazy, but it actually is keeping the sweat out of my eyes. However, the fact that this was probably owned by a 12-year-old boy in 1995 means
God, we're gonna get forehead impetigo so bad. I didn't think about the forehead impetigo.
Yeah, I should have sterilized this. No. Gary, this is like having a wrestling mat fused to your head.
Permanently. Like a permanent wrestle mat on your forehead.
Yeah, it's already started to get its tendrils, and I can feel it about to deliver its payload. Yeah.
It's all right. You're going to burst a tiny R zone out of your chest.
Long live the new zone.
It's going to pop out like this.
Gary, the game that we got, both of us, so we can do a full report, was Daytona USA, because Sega, they saw it coming down the line. They saw, you know what, Nintendo's got this Virtual Boy thing, and I hear it's really going to set the world on fire. So we're going to come along, and we're going to back what is going to be the obvious next contender.
Kids love red.
Ooh.
You know, and if you want to capitalize on that, you know, you need to have a red and like a virtual thing. You know, it'd be at some point, and we could throw some Patreon dollars towards this if we ever find a reasonable deal.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be fun to do some Virtual Boy games on this thing.
Oh,
just because I like the idea of playing Virtual Boy games.
I mean, if you do not mind them being in 2D, Virtual Boy emulation is actually a thing now.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Is it decent? Because the mm-hmm. last time I checked in, which was years ago, it wasn't.
It's I've done some on OpenEMU, which uses cores that are available to everybody.
Cool. Let's do some Virtual Boy shit. I mean, people could suggest it, but
we do. We have a whole bunch of Virtual Boy stuff, but it's never come up.
Okay. Yeah, because I can't hate that system.
Oh, neither
like,
can I. No.
Yeah, and like, we'll talk about it during that episode. The same way I can't hate this. Like, it's like, this is kind of fun. I don't know. Like, and this is more comfortable than that somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't just like a neck ache. It's like a forehead sweat and a headache, but it's not a neck ache.
Right, and the loving embrace of a cold technological god.
Yeah, of like a sweaty 12-year-old wrestler hugging your forehead at all times.
Oh, Monster Maze. What's that?
Like, I've been up to my elbows in fucking cookie dough. And now I'm giving your forehead a hug.
Yeah. Our zone. Yeah, but we both got... So Sega decided to back this. And you can even see this. This is one of the rare times I'm going to put in a show link here. Because mm-hmm. the commercial for this has to be seen to be believed.
Are you ready to run Daytona? Vanquish a virtual fighter. Dispense some justice in virtual cop.
It's pretty disingenuous.
Oh, yes, it is.
Like, it starts off, like, you know, pretty disingenuous. And eventually it gets, you know, a little bit better.
Yeah.
You know, it actually shows what you're doing. But it starts off and, you know, it's like, you know, virtual fighter, virtual cop. Imagine slamming these into your R zone.
No, Gary says, fist in your face virtual reality.
Then it's time for some fist in your face reality as all three rip into the R zone.
Yeah. Yeah. Of your favorite, you know, I guess Saturn games.
Of your favorite arcade games.
Blast your way through virtual cop.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
It shows arcade or Saturn footage of Virtua Cop and Daytona and Virtua Fighter.
Here come the bad guys.
And the kid shouts, "Checkpoint! Checkpoint!
Checkpoint! Checkpoint!"
Yeah, and then during the Virtua Fighter, he says something like, "It's some technical fighting game term too." Like mm-hmm. he's like,
"And prepare to meet your virtual master."
It's Giraffe.
Reverse slam. I don't know what it is, but it is then, you know, so those aren't what these games look like.
No, not at all.
Not remotely. Mm-hmm. And I just imagine like kids just being like way, way into it and thinking they're going to play these games on the run.
Oh yeah.
They're not.
No. And in fact, there's a little bit of foreshadowing because the commercial ends with just the kids screaming for 10 seconds.
All R-Zone cartridges play on the R-Zone and the R-Zone super screen.
Yep. Yeah, brother. But I sing a song of my people.
but the commercial is real special, and Daytona is featured in that, and this kind of makes sense for the form, right? Because you are in kind of a fixed perspective behind your car, and you're just changing lanes.
Mm-hmm. I found it inconsistent as to when it would let me go.
Me too.
I've also never, you know how when you play a racing game, you feel like you're kind of going fast, but you're like, there's no way I'm going 130 miles per hour. Like, I've never felt that sensation stronger than in this game.
Yep.
Like, I was like, oh, I'm going 270 miles per hour. Fucking fooled me.
Yeah.
This has no sense of speed. The kinesthetics on the R Zone leads something to be desired.
That billboard was only on the screen for 2 seconds. I must be zipping by.
Mm-hmm. Well, the way they indicate speed to that, like, beep. So, mm-hmm. like, there's no music once you actually start the game. It's just an endless beep.
Beep, beep.
That corresponds with your speed.
Yeah, and just like the regular Daytona, as you get busted up, you lose max speed and you lose acceleration. So you have to dip over into the pit.
Yeah, yep, which I did. You can do on accident, too.
Yep.
I got trapped in the pit trap.
Yeah. How long did your match last? Did your race last, Gary?
I played maybe 4 games of Daytona.
Okay.
Since I've had this, and the first one is the only one that I died before I got bored. Like, every other one, I could have just kept going, but I was just like, ugh, gotta stop playing R Zone.
Yep.
No. Do other stuff.
I've done 3 over the about the past week. I had one last night that, I shit you not, lasted like 12 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm gonna finish this, god damn it.
No, you're not. Like, it doesn't end.
It does end. Like, I got it. It's like, okay, the race is over. I placed 28th, which I wasn't aware there were that many cars. That's not a race. Yeah, that's a traffic jam. Yeah. I was like, oh, well, I'm going to see some flag or something. But wait, no. If you haven't seen a flag so far, you're not going to see it. It's just going to end.
No, there's not a flag sprite.
No.
I keep calling sprites. That's not the right word.
Yeah, no. Decal. A flag shadow.
Yeah, flag shadow.
Oh, I'm being followed by a flag shadow. I'm trying to just get the chirp. There we go. Okay. He's hungry. Like, I mean, let me feed you some eyelashes, buddy.
He just feeds on kids' Christmas disappointment.
he feeds on "I hate you, mom."
Yeah, that's why I kept him in the corner of my room where he can feed on the ambient disappointment that just emanates from me while I dream. That's what's keeping my R Zone strong.
Ah, damn it. You could have had so much more. Oh, man. Oh, that sure is Ed Grimley, isn't it?
Dad, 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 dad. I'm going to take my cartridge out and put it in the cartridge storage.
Mm.
Oh, no, I'm not, because I need to be able to fire up. In case I get a R-Zone salute. Yeah,
just in case you feel like it. Sometimes you gotta holla, right?
Yeah. It's a boy. Like, I'm gonna start using this to pick up ladies. Like, going down the street, just like, hey, baby. Oh, no. There
we go. We did it on sync. Yeah. Yes. That was not done in post. I actually did.
Check out this cool. Do you want to go with the guy who can afford virtual reality?
You want to go with the guy who has nice enough people who listen to a show to give them this? Yeah. I want to do, I want to get some Google Glass guts and put it in here.
Oh, hey.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's the only way that you look more like an asshole.
And like, I can just put a target on the front of it so people could punch me.
Yeah, like, I mean, here's the thing about the R Zone is that, like, yes, you don't look like a... So, like, I was thinking, like, oh, this is ridiculous. All these kids, like, walking around with this thing on, they look like pieces of shit. Mm. And then you have to go in and realize that they're also constantly winking. Like, all those, like, cool guys walking around with their spiked haircuts, like, wearing the R-Zone.
Uh-huh.
They also only have one eye open.
Yeah.
And it just makes them look, like, 1,000 times stupider than I can even imagine.
Well, that's the thing, because, like, I tried to play it with both eyes open, because in none of the images do you see somebody doing the perma wink.
Yeah.
Which, you know, obviously they wouldn't advertise that you have to do that because it's dumb.
Yeah, and it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the controller for a second.
Yeah, let's do that. So attached to this by about, let's say, 2.5 feet, like just mm-hmm. enough to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
is this controller. Hit me up with the controller, Gary.
All right. So they put the volume and brightness controls right on the bottom where your ring fingers are going to be.
Yep.
You can hit them accidentally during the game.
Mm-hmm.
The D-pad's really hard to explain. It's one of the shittier D-pads I feel like I've felt.
Yeah, it is both pointy, like it's
concave. Yeah,
it's concave, and it's incredibly mushy.
Yeah, it's mushy and pointy, and you can just kind of push the whole thing down to the right. We'll save the climax for the middle, or, you know, for the end. Yeah, to the right you have your buttons, which are also very weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like an A, B, a C, and a D button laid out like an A, B, and an X and a Y button on a Super Nintendo in that kind of order. But each one is like one big Omni button that can kind of, it's like a joypad or like a directional pad that can go left or right.
It's like a toggle is what it is.
Yeah, well, they don't snap into place though.
Yeah.
It's like a toggle, but you can just kind of push them down.
Yeah, but A and B are one button that you can press down either side of, yes. And C and D are one button you can press on either side of.
Yes, and none of which are useful during Daytona.
Well, if you decide to play in manual mode, like a real pro, I'm sorry, you're a beta boy.
Yeah.
then each of those buttons corresponds to a gear.
Oh, yeah. Is that true?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I read the manual in all of its typoed glory.
No, I didn't
which,
I didn't
which Paul was kind enough to Xerox for us.
Yeah, he printed us out a copy, but I forgot it when preparing for the show. So I like saw it. I'm like, oh, I'm going to read that. And then... forgot that was over there. And then the middle has like a lot of buttons.
Oh yeah, this is like 7200 level of buttons.
Actually, let's do a little feature we like on Teenage Dirtbags. We had to call Wikipedia said it best. because the Wikipedia entry for the R-Zone is like tragically well loved
like by one person.
By one person. It's really detailed in a nonsensical way.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, controls. I'm going to read this whole paragraph here.
Wait a second.
Are you just going to give me some background music
yes.
for the...
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
The R-Zone has 10 face buttons. The buttons on the right are labeled A, B, C, and D. The functions of these buttons vary from game to game, but typically the buttons correspond to the four-direction attack scheme, whereas the C button would attack to the left, the D button would attack up, the B button would attack right, and the A button would attack down or do nothing at all.
Oh, so it's like a twin-stick shooter.
I think that's what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
The buttons on the bottom are labeled on, and these aren't on the button on the bottom.
Well, this is he might be talking about a different one of the handheld versions of this.
That's true.
Yeah.
On, start, select, sound, pause, and off. The functions on these face buttons are universal and do not vary game to game. The on button simply turned on the console, but is largely unique because inserting a game cartridge automatically turned the unit on.
Very few people use this. Citation needed. Yes.
The start button was required to begin all games. The sound button turned the audio from on to off, and that's one word that's got
hyphenated. On to off.
From on to off, and vice versa. The pause button would allow for any game to be stopped at the exact point in which gameplay was taking place.
No shit.
Pressing this button again resume the gameplay.
It doesn't randomize it? Why am I at the final boss? Why does Daytona have a final boss?
Yeah, the off button was used to turn the console off. The R-Zone also featured a directional pad allowing four directions of movement in its games. Fuck you, guy. Like, isn't that weird? It's just like, it's so... The pause button allowed you to pause the game precisely the moment that... You know, it's very weird. It's a very weird Wikipedia entry.
I need to see. So this is mostly done by a guy named Leishia Tony. And he's mostly active on different handhelds, just kind of obscure things. So there's like the EVO Smart console.
Oh man.
The Sega Nomad.
I love these little weird consoles. I priced an N-Gage too, but N-Gages are too expensive.
Yeah.
But
hopped up on guy. That train.
I should email this guy and just be like, listen. I'm a fan of your work. Do you have any leads on some hot game comms or N-Gages? I don't know. I mean, we're going to do a lot of this show, so we don't have to cover everything about the R-Zone today.
No.
We'll come back to this next week.
There's a bunch more, but do we want to give them a preview of like some of the different properties that were adapted for the R-Zone? You said N-Gage there before. That's a different show.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's the engagement protocol. Yeah, let me find a list.
I'm sorry, engagement party.
Yeah, there we go. Engagement party is better, yeah. Okay, let's do this. Let's do this scientifically. Or not mm-hmm. scientifically. We'll make a game out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Looking through this list of R-Zone games, you could choose one R-Zone game to own. Which one would it be?
Like as a joke or seriously? Because
wrong. Like, you've already failed the game. Yeah, yeah. There's nothing joking about the R Zone.
No, you have to clear all irony from your heart, or otherwise the R Zone will reject you as a host.
Your
head will be as though the bitterest melon.
It's like the test of it becomes you can become Captain Britain. It's like you choose the sword, the amulet, or the R Zone, and the correct answer is the amulet, but the R Zone is the secret correct answer.
Yeah, I chose poorly. In my heart of hearts, I know that I want Panzer Dragoon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's really good. That's a good answer. I won't take your answer because I think that's the right answer. I think. I bet you a virtual cop is pretty works pretty well with this control scheme.
Do you think moving a cursor around would be good?
Yeah, you just have to it'd be like those mini games that happen in. In lots of games you do, mm-hmm. where there's nine set positions for enemies and you just move the cursor to wherever they're at, like whack-a-mole. Yeah.
I don't trust the, I'm sorry, I need to cover its ears. I don't trust its D-pad to let me do that.
Wait, mine knows that yours are covered.
Gary, it's angry.
They're doing a podcast now. Cool. Mine's just doing that. Was just doing that alarm. I didn't press anything to make it happen. I'm not kidding. Like, that wasn't me turning on and off really fast. It just started doing that.
It got angry.
Oh, I know what that was. That was the beginning. That was my car revving.
Okay. Oh, that's a whole other set of sounds we haven't done yet.
Oh my god! It's so beautiful.
Gary.
I bet you Nights into Dreams isn't so bad either.
I'm sure that's a little bit like the Sonic thing where you're just picking a lane, right?
Yeah. I bet you that's not too bad.
Yeah. You know what? I bet you Primal Rage is kind of some shit.
Oh no, yeah. I bet you the fighting games are not good.
Yeah.
I wonder what the Men in Black game is like. Judge Dredd. That's this is not the end of my relationship with the R Zone.
No. I am one.
This is getting me hyped.
Yeah, I'm now seeing the world through blood red colored glasses.
We are now a couple of our types. Yeah. Should we put a trigger warning at the beginning of this episode for whatever the audio equivalent of epilepsy is?
Okay, what's the opposite of ASMR?
Yeah, our RMSA.
Well, I think that with everybody foaming at the mouth with desire for an R Zone of their own, do we have any final thoughts for this introductory episode of the R Zone Zone?
If you're out there and you're an R Zoner of a lonely cart, it's much better than being an R Zoner of a broken cart.
And just to part the curtain here, we did this episode solely for that.
Yeah.
this was all one long walk to Gary being able to say that thing you said.
To make that yes reference. Yeah. Thank you, Paul.
Yes, thank you so much, Paul. Lest you think that we're I love this gift. It's so good. I'm so happy to own this.
Me too. I'm way into it. I have a glass mannequin head. It's not really a mannequin head, but it's like it would be used to model pigs.
Gary, yeah. Go say your thing.
I was just gonna say that's where I'm planning to store my R Zone. I've been keeping it in rotation until we did the episode, but I'll be able to have it prominently displayed.
I've got you've seen it. You've seen it on my mantle. My glass skull.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna right now that has my Dark Souls hoodie on it. I wonder if I can do both.
Yeah. Ooh.
Huh. That's a picture.
Yeah, your two greatest loves.
Yeah.
Combined on one, your three greatest loves.
Yeah.
Just having this thing prominently displayed, and I love the idea of in all seriousness, and there are lots of video game, personalities and stuff that do this, but I love this just having these kind of weird oddities and dead ends and little sad also rans in video games. I don't know. I have genuine affection for this stuff. It's weird. There's a lot of pathetic fallacy going on and just me kind of rooting for it as a little guy.
Well, what's funny is it's hard to make fun of it because nobody knows what the future looks like.
Totally.
Right. If imagine a world where the imagine, if you will, a world where the Virtual Boy took off, where mm-hmm. everybody, you know, kind of cast aside their concerns about the quality of a thing. And like,
where it just, it worked a little bit. Like the Virtual Boy was like,
yeah,
a bunch of good games and a better kind of ergonomic setup mm-hmm. away from being successful.
For sure. And so, you know, just like, imagine yeah. the R-Zone being like that, being like the Tiger handheld as compared to the Game Boy. Mm-hmm. The R-Zone is to the Virtual Boy. I can imagine, like, you know, it's easy for us to look back at this and scoff and say, this is some garbage or whatever. But like, the games are simple, but so are those like Tiger handhelds we loved, right?
Yeah, and totally. And I'll go as far as to say, wearing an R-Zone, you don't look that much stupider than you do wearing an Oculus.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you look like a fucking idiot in Oculus Rift helmet. Like,
yeah. Were you talking to me personally?
No, everybody. Like, yeah. Yes, but also anyone. Like, yeah. You look stupid wearing an Oculus helmet. And like, the future of games, if that's the future of games, it's going to be all of us looking like goddamn morons.
Mm-hmm.
But not that much more so than the R-Zone. At least with the R-Zone, you can, like, you know, see if your cat's about to jump on your dick or something. You know, yeah. It's not, you know, people can't sneak up on you in an R-Zone.
Yeah, no, at the one time I put on an Oculus, I was like, whatever, it's fine. Mm-hmm. It was just Minecraft, and like, that is like, those free roaming 3D things are not the kind of experience that I want with virtual reality. But I was at Portland Retro Games Expo, and I immediately got like chills up my back, like the hair on my neck stood up, because mm-hmm. I was concerned that somebody was like standing right behind me, just yeah. almost touching me.
Yeah, you can't, like, that's, I really wonder about that. And like, the idea of like the Oculus is going to be great for horror games, like, mm-hmm. I like that idea. But boy, like, without peripheral awareness, I'm going to have to, like, my horror quotient is going to go down. Like, yeah. my tolerance
yeah,
for that no. stuff is going to go way down.
No HQ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
Anywho, so yeah, thank you, Paul.
Yeah, this is great.
And thanks for all the people who supported Abject Suffering over the years. And I'm yeah. sorry that your hard work and dedication wasn't enough to keep it going.
Well, you know, but on to the next chapter, right?
Yeah. Gary, I mean, life is a hide.
No matter where you are, you're just passing through.
Yes, yeah. Indeed. Yeah, so what's the sign-off for the R-Zone Zone?
Well, I don't know. Like, so...
I know.
I just moved away from the microphone.
Yeah, fair fade out. That's a good sign-off.
Yeah, it is a pretty good sign-off. We're after the sign-off now. Oh man, I had a lot of fun doing Abject Suffering.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. It's a fun show. You know, never found you know, the success it deserved.
Yeah,
that's okay. Yeah. Much like the R-Zone.
Yeah,
yeah.
We're kindred spirits.
Yeah, me and this little guy. Yeah, you too. Aw.
Wait, let's go back and forth.
Yeah. It's like, it's a tension and release. Like, it just.
And that's the end.
All right. Yeah. That's the R-Zone Zone.
I'm going to get this thing off my fucking head because I'm dying. One second.
It's a good episode of SGO.
Gary, I need to go splash my face with water because you got me really worried about the boy sweat.
Okay.
BRB.
No problem.